and thanks to God, because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. No, you didn't hear what I said. I said he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored because he does mighty things, things that people cannot fathom. That's our God we serve. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let us pray. There's a sweet, sweet spirit indeed in this place. I know it's the spirit of the Lord. Lord, there are sweet expressions all over this place. And I know it's only from you. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, come and fill us right now. Fill us with your love. Because we know when we leave this place, that we will leave it revived. We will leave our hearts to be revived with you. And that's why we invite your presence this hour to come in our midst, Lord, and tabernacle with us. Come in your midst, Lord. Come in our midst and pitch a tent here. And we expect and we know that you will speak a word because we are listening. Lord, consecrate me this hour, Lord, and fill me once more with your power. Let me decrease and let your Holy Spirit increase in me so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's weak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in the house of God this morning. I said I'm excited to be in the house of God this morning. If you're excited to be in the house of God, give God one more round of praise and adoration. Secondly, happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. You know, I'm very conscious of these things. When it was Mother's Day, mothers, we clapped for you. We danced for you. Mothers, please clap for all the fathers in the house. That's better. Okay. We're going to go into the Word of God. And I invite you all to open your Bibles to a very familiar passage that's recorded in the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles. We're going to read some verses, selected verses. Because of time, we can't do everything. But I'll point you to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 1 to 6, and then from verse 17 to 22. And I'll crave your indulgence, all of you, to stand up, and together we can reverence the reading of God's holy word. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Let's read. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and had a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, meaning Saul, trembling and astonished, and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told to thee what thou must do. Drop down unto verse 17. Verse 17. Are we there? Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, meaning Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou comest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, somebody said immediately, immediately, then fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which had called on the name in Jerusalem, and came hither from thee that intent that they might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Amen. 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 Look at somebody and say to that person, neighbor, oh neighbor, fasten your seatbelt. We are on the road to Damascus. You may be seated in the presence of God. On the road to Damascus. Well, as if you're a member of this church, you know that our international month was rudely interrupted by nature. It was rudely interrupted, and it's so good to see all good faces back in the church. Some of us went to different places, but the good thing is, thank God for communication. We are communicating with each other. And it's also good to see our pastor back. Welcome, pastor. Please give him a hand. It's good to have our pastor back. He was also texting me that I'm in Bukavu and my family is in Goma. You will never be the same as long as you are away from your family. And I was supposed to preach at the last Sunday of the International Day. And then I couldn't preach. We all went away. I almost changed this sermon topic from on the road to Damascus to on the road to Kigali. Because the things that happen on the road is worth preaching about. But we are grateful to this church as internationals, nevertheless, that this church still opened its doors to us as internationals so that we can feel welcomed and still feel the presence of God where we are, irrespective of our families. We've left our homes and our journey. And once more, from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you to Sebeka for this opportunity. Thank you, pastors. Thank you, everybody, for this opportunity. But you see, there is a problem. Some of our colleagues, the ones we work with, when we tell them to come to church, you know, to come to this church, they wonder, what kind of church is that that leaves its doors open to you guys? That's how they call it, you guys. So like, you guys preach, you guys sing, you guys do, like, oh, David John preaching. Nah, that guy did not approve my MOP. They all, hey, brother Aaron, no. I won't come to that. William preaching? Nah. Because part of this thing is, we interact with each other every day, and they feel that this work we are called to do is only for a selected few. We call the called. Only the holy, the ones that have been ordained, that are supposed to do this work. But as my brother preached last week when he talked about the Great Commission, that they don't read the Bible enough to understand that Jesus gave us that commission that we must go out into the world and preach and spread the good news. And what they also fail to realize that we've all come from a long way. Those people that they've revered, those people that they call the pastors, they were not born pastors. They were not born bishops. They were not born priests. They all started from somewhere. They all started from somewhere until they become what they are now. And if you don't believe me, then hang out in the text. Because in the text, we see a brother by the name of Saul. You all know him as Paul. You know him, Paul, who is credited with writing half of the letters of the New Testament. You know that Paul that said, greater is he that is in me that is in the world. You know that Paul that said, everything will work out together for the good. You know that Paul. But if truth be told, he wasn't always that Paul. Behind that Paul, there was a... Come on, say it. I need somebody. Behind that Paul, there was a Saul. We are forced to meet this Saul as a young man in Acts chapter 7. When Stephen, one of the disciples, Stephen, was condemned to be stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. And the people who were doing out the execution, they took out their coats. And the only person that they trusted to leave their coats with was this young man by the name of Saul. And they gave Saul the coats to look after while they carried out the execution of Stephen. And Saul, looking at what he saw, become fixated. He made it his lifelong goal that I must persecute every single Christian who are into this Jesus movement. Every single Christian who calls upon the name of the Lord. And Saul became enemy number one of the Christian. He was chief conspirator number one, being an obstacle against the spreading of this Jesus movement. And chapter 9, the verse we just read, opens up saying that, and Saul still breathing hatred. Saul still breathing hatred. Go to the high priest. Said, I need permission to go to Damascus so that I can persecute more Christians, and not only men, but women. And there on the road to Damascus, something happened that will change Saul's life forever. Something happened that will change Saul's life forever. Saul had an encounter. Let somebody say encounter. Saul had an encounter. And he encountered Jesus. And in six verses, three things happened to Saul. In six verses, pay attention. Saul was convicted. Saul was converted. Saul was commissioned. Let's say that together. Saul was convicted. Saul was converted. Saul was commissioned. Now, pay attention to those three. There is going to be some pop quiz along the sermon. Pay attention to those three words. He was convicted, he was converted, and he was commissioned. The persecutor would become the preacher. The enemy will become an evangelist. And the antagonist will become an apostle. Did you hear that? The persecutor will become a preacher. The enemy will become an evangelist. And the antagonist will become an apostle. And all it took was six verses. Six verses. What happened on the road to Damascus? You ready? Point number one. No one encounters Jesus and remains the same. I think somebody should clap that word. No one encounters Jesus and remains the same. Now the question you need to ask yourself is, what is an encounter? When you go home, look it up. What is an encounter? But since I know you won't do it, let me tell you what an encounter is. Please put it on the screen. An encounter is an event or an experience with God in which there is a sense of supernatural manifestation of God's presence in your life. Amen? You can write that down. You can tweet it. It's an experience of experiencing God supernatural. It's something that when it hits you, that remains the same. It's out of the ordinary and often marked by some kind of physical sense of God's presence. Let's get to the text. According to verse 3, Saul was on the road. He was on the road to Damascus. A bright light shone and struck him, and he fell onto the ground. And then he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Pause. Stop. Rewind. Let's go again. Paul was on the road. A light struck him, and he heard a voice saying, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus was saying, Paul, why are you persecuting me? But there's a problem with this verse. Remember I told you, Paul was convicted. Now, what does it mean to be convicted? It's a guilty sentence on you. Paul was guilty of a crime. What was Paul's crime?
he was persecuting Christians.
But here is Jesus showing up now and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me?
You got it. Yes, you, no, you put your hand down, you didn't get it.
Paul, why are you persecuting me?
Because what we need to realize is, when we sin against our fellow man, we sin against God.
Amen.
When we sin against our fellow man, we sin against God.
Paul was persecuting Christians. Paul was bringing Christians to the book. Some of them were killed. Some of them were jailed. Some of them were stripped. But Jesus showed up to Paul and said, why are you persecuting me? Now, let me give you a side other scripture. You remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife? The story of Joseph. When Potiphar's wife was actually after him, saying, lie with me. And Joseph reasoned with her, say, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, Joseph's sin was against Potiphar. But Joseph realized that sinning against man is a sin against God. Second one, David, in Psalm 51 verse 4, David in his confession psalm, he said, against thee, only thee have I sinned. David's sin was against Uriah, but he recognized that when you sin against man, you sin against God. And this is a word for all of us who try to block people in the church, who are stumbling block when people are trying to give their all to the church. They are against their pastors. They are against their leaders. You are not sinning against them. You are an antagonist to the word of God. You are an obstacle to the kingdom of God. And be careful. But one day, you will meet your Damascus moment where Jesus will show up to you and ask you, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Because a persecution against man is a persecution against God. Amen? Amen? So therefore, in Saul's conviction, Saul was made to be humbled. He was knocked down. He pressed down on his feet and asked the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's a word, because some of times we see people who are so pompous, who don't want to take correction, but this is not Saul. He immediately recognized that there is some authority that I need to submit to. There is some authority that I need to be humbled to. And he asked Jesus the question, what do you want me to do? Some of us think that this movie is only for priests and bishops. No, but it's for everybody, because we are called to go forth and preach the good news. We are called to go forth and preach the gospel. We are called to go forth and spread the word that there is nothing, there's a God who is up there. And Jesus came to die and save us from all our sins. And we must go out into the world and preach that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That Jesus is Lord. Amen. I don't know who I came to preach by this morning, but you've been saying to yourself, no, I'm not ready yet. No, this thing is not for me. No. You've been dodging. To come to church, no. To go to prayer meeting, no. To come to the responsibility in the church, but you are shying away. But beloved, when God is ready to use you, there is nothing he cannot do to humble you. There is nothing he cannot do. He knows how to break you like he broke Saul. The man who was afraid, who people were afraid of, he put him on his knees. And Saul submit to the power of God. Because the one lesson you can pick up from here is no one encounters Jesus and remain the same. Amen. Amen. No one encounters Jesus and remain the same. I told you there's going to be a pop quiz along the way. So what was the second thing that happened to Saul? He was converted. You just got an A for that. He was converted. After he had been convicted, he was converted. Now we see the problem with conversion is the process of change. People don't want to change because change causes you some discomfort. Change, the process of change is difficult because it moves you from one place to another. It causes you some discomfort. And so, what was Saul's discomfort? When the lightning struck him, he was blind. He could not see. People had to carry him around. He could not even eat. This was God actually trying to convert the process of change in Saul's life. That he could not see. He was blind. He could not see. And this is a warning for everybody on this text. Never ever you look at somebody going through struggles in life and think that God has abandoned them.
Never look at somebody suffering in life and think that God's hand is not on them. Be careful. It might be God trying to humble that person so that he can submit to the will of God to say, I need thee, Lord. And this was Saul's moment that he was submitting to God. So it comes to the point number two, that while Saul was doing all this thing, while he was submitting to the will of God, he was blind, he couldn't see. There's one thing he was doing. He was praying. He was praying. And that's number two. Prayer is the key ingredient during the process of change. When you are in that process of change, when you are in that process of discomfort, there is one thing that you should always, never, ever forget. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. Because prayer is the key that holds all things. Amen? Prayer is the thing that gives you the access to what has already been deposited in the inside of you. This was Saul, God at his moment, that what Saul was going through, all of this, that he was praying. And if you drop down to the text, we didn't have time to read that part, but Ananias, when Jesus shows up to Ananias to say to go to Paul, to Saul, Ananias was reluctant. He said, you mean that Saul? To go to that Saul? Nah, I ain't going there. Jesus had to tell Ananias, don't be afraid of him anymore. Why? He's praying now. He is praying now. And that's the thing. You look at somebody and you judge, but you don't know that he's praying now. He's going through that process of change and he's praying. And never ever underestimate the power of prayer. Never ever underestimate somebody whose position is whenever you are in an environment of prayer, God is working to change things in your life. God is working to shift the things that are bad and move you into the place so that you can align yourself with the word of God. All you've got to do is to pray. All you've got to do is pray. Prayer changes things. Let somebody say that. Prayer changes things. You know him as Saul, the persecutor. You know him as David, the adulterer. You know him as the one who is all messed up. But what you don't know, that he's praying. And whilst he's in an environment of prayer, God is working in him. God is working in her. God is working in us all. All you need to do is to learn how to pray. I know you've had this time and time again. Time and time and again, people have told you, but let me offer you this simple and profound advice. Pray. 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 Because what prayer does, prayer will help you fight things and fight temptation when they come your way. Prayer will help you to bite your tongue and to shut your mouth. No, you don't have to say everything that people talk about you. Prayer will help you to be able to understand and see the things of God. Prayer will be able to walk and to know that, yes, God is in the midst of things and he shall not be moved. Now, what you need to watch in the text. Saul was praying. And in the prayer, he saw a vision. You missed that. Remember, he is blind. But he's praying. And in the prayer, what did he see? He saw Ananias coming to help him to receive his sight. And this is what prayer does. Prayer changes you from the inside out, that you see yourself before others could actually see it in you. Prayer helps the thing to manifest itself in you first. It gives you that vision that you see. I see myself as a conqueror. I see myself as an overcomer. I see myself being healed. I see myself victorious. I see myself, because there's nothing that prayer cannot do. Prayer changes things. And so, my brothers and my sisters, when you are in a state of discomfort, when you are in trials and tribulation, don't ever forget to pray. Because prayer is the key ingredient in the process of change. Amen? Amen. The last part. Pop quiz number three. What happened to Saul? He was commissioned. Saul was commissioned. Now, the part of the commission is what I like. He received his sight, and Ananias went to him, prayed on him, and the scripture tells us that something fell on his eyes like scales. And he received his sight, and he was baptized. The pool is empty. Next week. Oh, okay, he's been prepared. He was baptized. He was convicted. He was converted. And now he's been commissioned, baptized to be commissioned to go out and spread the good news. But that's not what I like. You know the verse I like? That's the part when they say, verse 21. And when the people who saw him preach the word of God, they asked the question. No. Let me rub my eyes. Is that the same Paul who came to kill us? Is that the same Paul who is now preaching the good news? Beloved, we sang the song. He do wondrous things. He do mighty things. Because we serve a God, there is nothing he cannot do. There is no one he cannot change. And that's lesson number 3. Never disqualify the word based on the vessel. Never disqualify God's word based on the person who's preaching it. Because at the end of the day, God can use anyone. I thought you should clap on that one. God can use anyone. You know why? Because we are all his God. We are all his God. We are all his God. He's got you, he's got me. And when he's ready to use us, there is nothing you can do to run away from. If you want to remind yourself, go back to the story of Jonah. That God can use anybody. And no matter who is standing in front of you to preach the word, never ever you disqualify the word based on the vessel. Because the time will come when that person who you see on that side, that person will be on this side preaching. And you will ask yourself this question. Is that Brother William preaching the word of God? Is that Pastor David preaching the word of God? Is that my good friend Aaron preaching the word of God? Because at the end of the day, God is using and God can use anyone. Amen? My pastor in the U.S., the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church, he normally says one thing to us. Read your Bible. It will make you a better Christian. Read your Bible, it will make you a better Christian. Because if you read the Bible is filled with folks who are on the other side. But God turned their life around and God used them regardless. Can I run some of them to you? Noah was a drunk, but God used him. Jacob was a trickster, but God used him. David was an adulterer, but God used him. Rahab was a red-hot queen mama, but God used him. Saul was a gangster, but still God used him. Peter was a gangster, but Saul still God used him. William, Samuel, Felix, Louis was a... Let's not go there. But God will use whoever he wants to. God will use whoever he wants to. Because he's God. He specializes in turning mess into masterpiece. He doesn't need a perfect fruit to produce a perfect product. He doesn't need a perfect seed to produce a perfect fruit. Because he is God and he is God Almighty. He can use and choose anybody he feels that. Because we are all his God. Amen. So we have got nothing to do but to just thank God and say, God, I may not be what you want to be today. I may not be what you want me to be today, but God is still working in me. And as long as God is still working in me, I will sing the song that the choir used to sing. I'll press towards the mark of the high calling. I press to reach my goal. Though there'll be trials, though there'll be pitfalls, though there'll be stumbling block, but I'll keep pressing. You didn't hear what I said. I said, I keep pressing till I reach my goal. And when I will go to God, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Amen. Amen. Let me leave you with this. There was a hotel, 5-star hotel, beautiful hotel where everybody wants to go to. And we got there. We got there and they were doing a renovation. They were doing a renovation on one of the floors. You know, when they were doing a renovation, things get messy. Scaffolds all over the place. Sand, water, cement, blocks, tiles. It was completely messy. You sit in the room and you hear them, the carpenters and the masoners are banging. But there was a sign at the entrance of the hotel. The sign went like this. Please excuse our mess. You're going to love us when we are done. Please excuse our mess. You're going to love us when we are done. Beloved, that's the attitude some of us need to go in when we're doing this Jesus thing, this kingdom thing. I know I may not be all that I want to, but please excuse my mess. God is still working me, and you're going to love me when God is done with me. I know I'm not what you want me to be, but please excuse my mess. You're going to love us when we are done. I know I'm not all I'm used to be. I'm not all that I want to be, but I thank God that I'm not what I'm used to, and I'm still a work in progress. So please excuse my mess. You're going to love me when God is done with me. Goodbye, Sebeka. May the Lord bless you mighty good. May the Lord keep you from strength to strength. May the Lord cover his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you and to give you that peace that you need. You need that peace to walk in this world. You need that peace to preach God's word, because every now and then there'll be challenges. There'll be strifes. There'll be trials. There'll be tribulation. But please, we'll excuse the mess. God is still working with you. God is still working in you. God is still working through you. And at the end of the day, you will come back to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you've done it again. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Let us be on our feet. I know the few weeks have been really tough for us. We've labored in God's vineyard. We've labored in God's calling. We've labored. But at the end of the day, God still watches over us. And at this moment, I just want you to thank God for keeping you throughout this period. Just say something to God right now for keeping you throughout this period. Because even though the trials and tribulation come, you never lost your faith, knowing that you serve a God who, they say, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. We are grateful to be in the house of God once more to say that, oh, no part of our hair is missing. No part of our body is gone, because we serve a God who there is nothing he cannot do. There is nothing he cannot change, and there is nothing he cannot turn around. So let's just thank God. We just worship you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just bless you, Lord, because you are King over our lives. You are Lord over our lives. Lord, continue to show yourself in us more and more, so that we learn to love you and to know you, whom to know life eternal, because you are the only one we've got. We've got no other God but you. Allow not the enemy to laugh at us and to ask us, where is that God you serve? Where is this God that you run to day after day and time after time? But allow them to see you, and to see us, and to know that, yes, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that this word will minister in the hearts of their children. We pray that this word will be a food to those who are hungry. We pray that this word will be a living water to those who are thirsty, so that they will dig deep from the well of salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.